The Meadows at Mystic Lake has modified its golf policies to follow the COVID-19 public health recommendations and welcomes you to play this award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic golf experience. The Meadows at Mystic Lake is a full-service golfing destination, enhanced by nearby food and entertainment, including the Meadows Bar and Grill and Mystic Lake Casino Hotel. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by Shakopee Mid-Wahkatan Sioux Community.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Patrick Royce, how about that Vikings game?
What a weekend. That was a hell of a football game.
It was.
I said that the first week had showed you everything horrible about NFL entertainment. I don't care if it was close or not. It was god-awful. Mm-hmm. Incredible numbers of penalties. One thing we saw, now the false starts, you got to call them. One thing we saw is it's a better game when the officials don't throw 25 flags, right?
Absolutely.
And these, my new favorite analyst, Tlaib.
Wasn't he great?
Tlaib's great. He says, I like this guy. He let us play.
Yep.
The way he didn't have any idea what the ref's name was.
No, it didn't matter to him either.
And he says, I like this guy because he used to let us play a little bit. He's great. It's all off the top of his head, and it's, but it's inside the bad grammar and misuse of words is some information.
Absolutely,
you know, and you know, from a guy who played and shot himself,
it beats Daryl Moose Johnston.
Yes, it does. It beats Chris Collinsworth, who can I blow smoke at after this play? Who can I say I've never seen anything this good in my 600 years of football, you know? So I liked him a lot, and his play-by-play is good. And the play-by-play guy, whoever.
Gus Johnson.
Oh, that's Gus.
That's
Gus. That
was, he was
Gus.
Doing
that was right. Gus is with him. Yeah, it's
NFL game.
Somebody
again.
Was very bright putting those two guys together because Gus can handle.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't get flustered.
Gus can handle goofies, a little guy from the, want of a better term, from the streets, man. That guy, that kid's talking like he talked to his pals.
It was good, though. I agree. I thought it was fun.
But it was a hell of a game. And what we discovered is, and I say this, when you're kicking from 52 yards, no pressure. No pressure. This guy's great. He's made four kicks, and they're all 50s, right? Or three kicks, I guess. One last week and two this. Yeah, but 37, there's lots of pressure, because especially with 4 seconds left to go in the game to win the game.
Correct.
Lots of pressure, and the pressure comes usually when you don't finish your leg swing, right?
Uh-huh.
And you kick it to the right, and he got about, he looked like a golfer, man. He stopped his swing and kicked it right, you know, I was laughing because I love it when Zim's got kicking problems because it just drives him insane.
Yep.
But after seeing him in the post-game interview, I lost my joy because I was worried about him. Did you see him? Did you see it at all?
No, because we were doing our show.
He was extremely red in the face, almost as if he'd been crying, and I'm shocked that he was able to get words out. He just looked destroyed.
He was very measured in his comments about the kicking, too.
Yes, but he was destroyed. There was no place in the world that he would rather not be than doing that interview right then after that loss. Because they played great defensively the second half, I thought. And they didn't do much offensively. Arizona, he has to say that they adjusted greatly to the Vikings, too. But with Hunter being the biggest monster on the field and everything, they played great the second half. That's as bad as Murray's going to look in a half of football, I think, because he's a phenomenal talent. So
I'm with you, though. That was a fun football game. Because week one, you're right, that Bengals game was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was a lot of fun to watch.
I do. Everybody's mad that Zim didn't run another play and try to get closer. I think he should have ordered them to make up a, to get a holding penalty and move back, him back 10 years. I think they should have backed them
there
up.
Were, oh, there,
because then he can swing free and easy.
There were fans on Ventline who called in and actually said, "How could Zim let the kicker kick that ball at all? Don't you know the history of this team?"
Yes,
those
our new kicker.
People.
Our new kicker. Let's let's never kick field goals again. The hell with it.
It is the damnedest thing.
Can I go back and look at your YouTube post game?
Oh yeah,
it's on there?
Yeah, most definitely.
They were a little irrational. Was anybody overserved?
Oh heck yeah, yeah. Bob from Pennsylvania, who is essentially
a regular caller.
Yes, and
he's
and,
Randy.
But wait, he's an East Coast guy. Okay.
Yep.
So it's like if an Eagles fan was a Vikings fan, so it's the greatest. Because mm-hmm. he wants jobs, he wants names, mm-hmm. He basically wants heads.
Yes, well,
and you know, most people here are upset, but
how
Bob brings the Philadelphia.
Has Bob given you his life history as to how he became a Viking fan?
He's done that before.
Okay.
He's done that before.
Not this time.
No.
We don't know how this came about.
I forget.
Yeah.
I forget.
Some connection.
But he is an East Coast eccentric, and he's great because he treats the Vikings like Philadelphia fans treat the Eagles. So he absolutely melts
and
down.
He's like the first caller in, usually.
No, he shows up. But I believe he was in the midst of a Miller Lite spree or something. So.
Well, that's you can't beat. Let's face it. Victory is fine, but defeat is what sparks post-game shows.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And kicking defeat,
oh, yes,
is cocaine.
I was saying earlier today, when you're flying back from that game, long flight back from Arizona, a good 3 hours, right? Mm-hmm. Probably 2:45,
yeah,
3 hours, even though it's direct. And you're that guy. It's like the guy that's been arrested on the plane and put in the straitjacket and stuck in a seat back in the corner.
Is that what you're saying?
I mean, how can you make eye contact with anybody?
You probably can't.
No. I mean, these guys, no matter what they're telling you, you haven't been around long enough for them not to hate you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're a kicker, so you're hated anyway.
They hate you. And I said this too. The worst thing about Blair Walsh's kick was not what he did to the poor suffering fans. It's what he did to a defense that played incredibly when it was 20 below zero.
Yep.
For 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Yep.
And then this little weenie runs out there.
Yep, exactly.
28 yards, and he kicks it dead straight. Unfortunately, the goalposts are over there 1 foot. So, that was the worst part.
Yeah.
And yesterday, same thing. That defense, they...
Well, and Cousins got him down. Cousins got him down the field. He
now,
did everything he's supposed to do.
Did they get 3 points out of the roughing the kicker, the roughing the punter?
I think they might have got one of the long field goals out of that. I'm not positive.
It is. I know it's the fastest, meanest, most disorganized game of all time. And you can tell that by having. You know, I always say my moment of revelation was standing in the end zone behind the goalposts in Cleveland when Elway was going the other direction toward the lake. And at the field level, it's just a maze of bodies.
Yep.
It's a maze of bodies and how these guys can make the game slow enough to see what's happening.
Quarterbacks especially.
Yeah. Is astounding to me. All that said, there's sometimes they do stuff that if you were a coach, what the hell is D.D. Westbrook doing? We get in a wily veteran, and he damn near ran in the end zone for a safety.
I know.
What the hell was he doing?
I have no clue.
You catch it at the 5. We don't want you backing up to get around people First of all, we don't want you catching it at the five.
Yeah, you don't want to catch. Yeah.
Second of all, when you catch it at the five, you better not back up. Start running backwards.
Yeah, I think Gus was very surprised that that ball was caught first, and then the fact that he went retreated towards the end zone.
And then the other thing is the guy running into the punter. What the hell are you doing? You just stopped him again. You made him punt. Let him punt.
Yep.
Let him punt.
Oh, and the Cardinals did not play a perfect game. The Cardinals gave you a lot of that. That last drive before the Vikings drive that it ended with the missed field goal.
Yeah.
That was about as bad of use of time as I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. It was terrible. And
what are you doing?
I mean, man, Hunter. Hunter something.
Yeah.
I got news for him. He's got some kind of an out after this season, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a huge bonus in March or he can get an out.
Well, they might as well write him out a check right now.
Yes.
Because, man alive.
He is still underpaid.
Yes.
With the new contract.
Well, this is the fastest quarterback, and this guy's more elusive than Mahomes, you know, quicker than Mahomes. I know he doesn't have the savvy of Mahomes,
right.
I don't think.
Well, he's good, yeah.
Mahomes got savvy, but he's the quickest guy ever. And Hunter is rushing him in that last series, and he's going to take off, and in two strides, this guy's got him wrapped up.
Big arms.
Man, big arms, but great feet.
Oh, he's a fantastic defensive
great
lineman.
Great feet. Great athlete.
Absolutely.
Great, he was, I wonder if anybody's sacked Murray three times.
I bet not.
Probably not. Well, I mean, one individual.
Right, no.
You know, they did a pretty good job on Chandler Jones. He made a couple of plays, but he
was almost got Dalvin Cook killed by him. But besides that, they did a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
That little screen he tried to throw to Dalvin and Dalvin.
But I said on Twitter, every idiot in the NFL, any idiot in college football that's leading with his helmet and getting thrown out of games, watch that play.
Yep.
He had him lined up, and he took his helmet out of the play and just smacked him.
Yep.
And, you know, kept his helmet out of the play. And that it's doable. It can be done.
And Cook still was jarred back about 4 yards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Looked like a cartoon character.
Now, Dalvin isn't exactly go, miss, because sliding into second base is not quite as gruesome of an occupation as getting smacked like he got smacked. But he will leave the field.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't decide.
He will leave the field like he's hurt.
Yeah, and I can't decide because you're right, and I can't decide if he legitimately is hurt at that point.
Maybe he's either a warrior.
Right, that's exactly right.
Or he's a dramatist.
That's what I can't figure out.
One of the two.
Yes.
Man, is he good, though. When they were giving him some, that they were showing. Our guy Tlaib loved his cuts, and he started showing you some of those cuts. Look at this now. You know, I loved him. And some of those cuts he made. But how about the one hole?
Mm-hmm.
That they ran him through one hole that had to be 8 feet wide. And
the offensive line had some pride
half.
Yesterday.
They were killing him the first half. I think maybe the guard, that Odu, whatever his name is, might be okay.
Udo,
he looks okay.
Yep. And Cleveland, I guess, PFF-wise, graded out really well.
Really?
Yes. Very well.
Now, beyond Chandler Jones, what is their nose tackle type of... Are they
J.J. Watt. They got Watt and Chandler Jones.
Yeah, Watt.
But Watt, I think...
J.J. ain't what he used to be.
So were we upset that we thought that J.J. Watt tried to twist Dalvin's ankle on that one play? Because they definitely came over and talked to him. He made the tackle when Dalvin left with the ankle problem. And they showed it, and he's in there. It's a shoestring tackle. And it looked like we were talking to him about how he went about the tackle.
We were talking to the refs? The refs were talking to J.J. or the Vikings?
The Vikings were talking to Watt about it.
I don't know. I didn't see that. That was about the only time J.J. touched anybody. He probably forgot how to tackle. He didn't do much.
No.
He's old. I was shocked how often he was. I thought they maybe brought him in to rush a passer or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he seemed like he was in on damn near every play.
But, yeah, I thought Jones would have a massive day.
Yeah.
That guy had 5 sacks last week against the Titans.
O'Neal's good. And, you know, the other side, I don't know. So, I think Rashad Hill gives you an effort.
He does. He's just, he gives you an he's effort. Just a backup.
Yeah, he is a backup.
But yeah, he cares.
Nice thing about him is he can be your backup at four positions if he doesn't have to start. But I don't know. It was that was about the best they got. But as you and I were talking beforehand, that said, they got 3 points the second half.
Yep.
They got the Nick Vigil, who I didn't even know existed, ran in a and that's the only points they scored the second half. The second half, you don't think of it with that over and under, but it was a defensive game the second half. Mm-hmm. So
I think the Vikings looked their best when they were running the scripted plays to start the game, because looked really good.
Oh, yeah.
And that touchdown pass to Osborne was beautiful.
And they were playing so fast that the Arizona made adjustments.
I wonder if Clint called Dad on the ranch and said, you know, Dad,
what are we doing here?
What should we do?
They look so good for a quarter and a half. I said on Twitter, I hope Clint doesn't leave to take a head coaching job like Stefanski did. God, they look good.
You might have been the Jacksonville Jaguars' next head coach by halftime?
Yeah, they were just tearing
not going so well there.
They're just tearing them up. Just tearing them up. How about the Southern Cal people think they're going to get Urban?
Yeah, that's, well, I'll say this.
If Urban leaves Jacksonville, he's not going anywhere to coach. He's just going to put his money in the bank.
And, I could see him being one and done, though, couldn't you?
I did, too, but didn't they give him, like, $50 million or something?
But it's just
thing?
Like with Saban. I mean, these guys think that they can go to the pros and it translates.
I don't even know if they think that. I think they want
the money.
I think they like the money.
Okay. For him to think that he can go to the pros and run the show like you do in college, to me, is just a... Especially when the guy keeps quitting because of health problems.
Yes. Meanwhile, as great as the Gophers looked, the Ohio State moral victory continues to decline in greatness.
Yes.
Since Tulsa had 500 yards against them on
Saturday. Well, you called it.
Yeah, their defense stinks.
You called that right away.
Yeah.
It is bad.
Penn State's going to win that division, I think. Anyway, you saw the Gopher game. Congratulations.
Well, non-HD, okay? I sort of saw it.
Except for the 12,000 Viking Gopher fans who are alleged to have made the trip.
Yep.
You were the only guy that saw the game, I think.
Doogie came to my house.
You and Doogie saw the game. So what a beating.
It was impressive.
Has anybody told us when is the last time the Gophers held a team to these few yards?
Doogie looked it up. I think it was a Mace team. They played Kent State or something like that.
Okay.
But I forget if it was the exact same. But I think they had back-to-back shutouts that season.
But both against
non-conference
lame teams.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is a Power 5 team. Colorado is. Colorado football's declined, Pat.
Holy cow.
You remember when
I was there. What year was I there with them? 90?
90 with Bill McCartney coaching
89,
them?
89, 58-0. It was 58-0. Yeah, 58-0.
Big 8, right?
Big 8, yeah. Them, Colorado, Nebraska. Colorado, Nebraska, and Oklahoma.
Yep.
I always said Goody got inherited in his first 5 years, I believe, maybe one of them was the sixth, but he inherited road games at Oklahoma because Oklahoma had played here.
Yep.
And then, I think Aikman got hurt the next week. Yep. Aikman was playing quarterback here. They scored 13 points.
That was Holtz.
Yes.
That was a good game.
And 13-7, I believe. Mm-hmm. Aikman was terrible. And they were going to become a passing offense. And Aikman got hurt the next week, and they put in Jamil Holloway, and I think they won a national championship. They were incredible. And the next year, the Gophers go down there, and it's 105 degrees on the opening weekend, 63-0. And in the press box at Oklahoma then, they had an old-time scoreboard with a hand that went around, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it was lit up where you were point. And they had the score on it and then rushing yards. Those were the things on this old
passing yards.
No passing yards, and it made noise when it clicked, and it sounded like a tote board.
Like you were in Vegas?
Ding, 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 you know. And they were, I have no.
Did you hear change coming down too?
I had no idea. The other thing about Oklahoma was I was there for practice on Friday afternoon. And you, on the Gopher sideline while they were practicing, a little better access. You could barely see a guy's head over on the other sideline. It was so.
Oh, the crown?
The crown was so big because they liked running that wishbone downhill. So they, when they were running the wishbone, you were running downhill.
Right.
And it was unbelievable. That's what I got my 45-minute interview with Barry on Friday. A little different access.
Yeah.
Than you get
now.
Yeah,
you think?
Yeah. Like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, game day, you know. I don't think he was too worried about us. But 45 minutes, I did the whole interview. It was great.
Yep.
And the whole time I was interviewing him, he was thinking of something else. You could perceive.
Right.
And he answered every question. But he, you know, he's kind of known as this goofball. But he had the brain that, you know, Jesse and Sid and maybe some degree me, all these can only have one thought in their head at the same time, you know, and they have to expunge it before they, you know, I always said that about Sid. He had something in his head. He had to get it out of there before he made room for the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And very exact opposite.
Multitask thinker?
I called up Johnny Keith, who used to be his PR man, who was a legend. He was at New Mexico, big buddy of Barry's, and big buddy of all those Western guys like Wicker and those guys. Wicker told me, called Johnny Keith. He's got the best Switzer stories. So I don't want to tell you what Johnny Keith told me Barry was thinking about while I was interviewing him, but it wasn't football.
Did Barry have something else on his schedule
something
later that
else
day?
Maybe on his schedule. I have no idea. But Barry was. Remember the guy who succeeded him? Wasn't that Larry Lacewell for a year or two?
I don't remember.
Larry Lacewell was his defensive coordinator, and the story all over Norman and all over Oklahoma's, you know, city and Tulsa and was that Norman and Larry's wife, that Barry and Larry's wife had a affair.
Okay.
And to the point there was bumper stickers about this down there in Oklahoma. There was bumper stickers.
Football in the South, baby.
Oh, God.
Nothing, you can't beat it.
That's good. There was, this is another very ethnic bad thing. In the 50s, they started calling their fans the Chinamen because they were complained so much when I think it came from some guy calling up the local newspaper and asking what the score was. And they said 56-0, and he said, "Is that all?" And someone said, "I don't know, how much chow mein can a Chinaman eat," or something, and they made that became like the thing down there. And that was in the 50s when Bud Wilkinson was there, and they won how many in a row? 50-some in a row?
Yeah, 56.
That was
zero,
the guy, you know, ex-Gopher Bud Wilkinson. Sid and the boys were trying to get him to come here. He made the stupid decision to stay in Oklahoma and win every year.
Yeah, know? Multiple championships.
Yes, before he went to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Hmm. Yeah, which also didn't work out very well. But, yeah, this was impressive. Now, Colorado does stink, but when you hold a team to, what, 60-some-odd?
63, I think it was 68, 63, something like that.
On the road, that's pretty damn good.
Oh, God. Well, plus, they must have kept pressing it. They must have wanted the shutout because they didn't They didn't let them loosen
up.
Do
you know the game? The next game I think that's going to tell us something, the Purdue game. Because Purdue played Notre Dame on Saturday. That was a pretty good game.
Yeah,
so I think that game might tell us a little something.
Their recruiting with Brom has been terrible. Every year they're like 11th in the Big Ten or something. They have not.
And I've not been impressed by them, but I was on Saturday. I thought they played pretty well.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. If you're not going to let Potts be Ibrahim and let the Gophers hold the ball for 40 minutes and, and let that offensive line pound the crap out of you, you're not going to beat them.
Yep, and that offensive line I really like.
So their defense has to be good for 22 minutes, you know, because they're going to have the ball. I don't know what was the possession time on Saturday. It had to be lopsided, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, a lot of three and outs.
But they can plug a running back in and get a pretty good production behind this line, no matter who it is.
Yeah. I mean, Ibrahim is probably a little harder nose than this guy, but this guy's got some talent. So it's got to be kind of frustrating for the quarterback and the receivers that, I mean, Ottman Bell caught four and Wright caught three or four.
They should throw a little bit more.
They're not just to make guys happy.
You know, PJ and Zim, it's incredible how much they're alike in philosophies offensively.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah.
They both
it's a way to protect defense.
But, I mean, it's also, it goes against a lot of how football is played now, but both of them have that idea that they'd prefer to protect their defense.
So do we have a new view of Cameron Dantzler now, that he's a complete bust, or is it just that Breland's been that bad?
Combination of both.
We like Dantzler better.
But Dantzler's a better player. But it never made sense to me to bury him so much when he started 10 games as a rookie and should be improving.
Yeah,
they went out and got Breland. And Breland,
they
hated
him in training camp, though,
yeah,
Dantzler.
Well, he had a bad training camp. But a lot of guys have had bad training camps. And this whole special teams thing to me is such an old, you know, if you don't play hard on special teams, you don't play. If you could play cornerback in this league, you're going to play.
The first 2 weeks of special teams, though, would indicate that the guy last year, Maloof.
Marwin Maloof?
Marlon might not get a job too quick.
Did you hear who he was consulting for last I heard?
Who?
P.J. Fleck.
Really?
He offered his services up to the Gophers. So
he's just sitting there. He's unemployed.
Yeah, he must be unemployed.
Stayed in town because he had kids in school.
I don't know what it was. But yeah, PJ said, yeah, he's you know, came here and helped us out, and it's great. I thought, that's great. Well,
but now, last year we blamed him for the missed field goals. Are we going to blame this guy, whatever his name is, for the missed field goal?
I think we blamed Marwin Moore for the punt returns.
Dropping the punts.
The Chris Boyd blocking guys in the back.
Well, I guess special teams took a little fallback, too, with Didi running backwards from the 5 to the 1. That wasn't
the... How the hell do you do that for a living for so long?
Yes. I think we might have overstated what he was going to provide as a receiving threat.
Yes.
Did they really? He hasn't played, has he?
He's played in four receiver sets, but Osborne's in front of him.
Third guy, yeah.
So. And Osborne can play.
Yeah, last year he had a bad year. He dropped a punt and stuff, and they didn't use him.
They drafted him, I think, primarily as a return man, and he's not that great at that, but he's a good receiver.
You know what is amazing about the NFL, and this is the Chiefs. This comes from the Chiefs. If you're lightning fast, they're going to figure out a way to use you. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got another one now.
They get one a year.
Pringle or some guy. I never heard of Pringle. And a fast guy named Pringle, They're showing up all over the league. The guy that just is lightning.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Troy Williamson, time to come back and not just be made into a guy who you throw a little pass in the flat to, or a little pass 5 yards.
And you run 50.
Don't make him run down
and
catch something.
Mm-hmm.
Make him, make him just get the ball to him.
Yeah.
And let him scoot.
Basically just shovel the ball he can't drop it.
Right,
just,
and then run like a son of a gun.
Yep.
It is amazing how speed is now the Vikings have Thielen and they have Jefferson, who's great, But Blaze, they don't really. And Osborne's the one guy who's kind of a blazer, right?
Yep. And the guy that they drafted, I think it was in the fifth round, running back. He's on the IR right now from Iowa State. Is
just
that type
for
of guy?
Speed, yeah.
He's a Chiefs type of guy. Great mm-hmm. speed.
Yep. And the kick returners,
Amir Smith-Marset.
Why do we bother to have kickoffs?
I don't know. I predicted that they'd be gone by now.
In college football now, half of them are being fair caught.
Yeah.
Even if they're inside the 10.
The 5.
Yeah, they're just taking them at the 25. I guess maybe there's more kickers who can kick it up in the air, you know, to get a little hang time. So if they're going to be, if you're going to catch the ball and you already got guys at the 20 heading for you, that you don't, I suppose they just take the extra yards. But
the kickoff return has lost all pizzazz.
Yes, it is. Devin Hester wouldn't be considered for the Hall of Fame if he...
No.
He didn't make it, did he? Did he make it?
Hester, I don't think so.
He was on the list.
I don't think he's
Maybe
a Hall of Famer.
Maybe it's next year he's on the list. He's being mentioned as a possibility.
Chris Cluey's worst nightmare.
Yes.
Devin Hester.
Yes.
That got Cluey in more trouble.
It's amazing. Of all the teams for a guy like that to be on, too, the Bears, the most boring team in football.
This is Patrick Racy for the Canopy Group, and this is a time of year we love in Minnesota. The leaves are changing colors, the kids are back in school, and the apples are ready to be picked. So what do apples and insurance have in common? When it comes to getting an insurance quote, many people want an apple-to-apples comparison. We can't do that at Canopy. Here's why. The Canopy Group, we believe our clients deserve only the best insurance coverage for the best price. That's why we only offer our clients combined single-limit coverage. Many captive carriers, meaning they only have one option, offered split limit coverage. That means they can change what they pay you for a claim depending on how it fits. The type of coverage leaves you open to gaps and on the hook at claim time. This doesn't sound good to us, and it isn't good for you. At the Canopy Group, we're often able to increase coverage from split limit to combined limit, single limit coverage, and save clients money. If you want an apples-to-apples comparison, be prepared. The Canopy Group's apples are much bigger and better than the competition. To make sure you're getting the best insurance, call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.
I bet they're sad down in Chicago that Andy got hurt. And I guess Fields wasn't the end-all to be-all. Although, did Detroit get beat or did they play yet?
They played tonight. Monday night at Green Bay.
Oh, okay.
So
at this point, the Bears
yet.
Are leading the division.
Correct.
One and one.
Okay. And I saw the press conference today. Nagy won't tell you how Dalton's doing or who might start next week.
Mm.
So
how about that Seattle kicking that one away?
Yeah,
he had two touchdowns ahead with 8 minutes.
Yeah,
to go
they
or
they
something.
Blew the lead. The Chiefs were up by 11 in the fourth quarter to Baltimore. They blew it.
Yeah.
But you know what? I saw two games, same time as the Vikings started, ended with long field goals to win the games.
Oh, really?
Yep. The Seattle game in OT, and the Chargers game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I gotta say this: my gleeful anticipation of Zim having kicker issues because he's so fun when he gets mad. It's kind of lost some of its yesterday.
So you're worried about him now.
Well, as hard as he took it yesterday, I'm worried about it. Well, he's not as young as he used to be.
No, and he knows his job's in jeopardy this time around.
Oh, yeah.
He can't just yell and scream
and cut
a guy.
No matter how confident that he is. But, yeah, I mean, how come we're not? Now we might, but, I mean, when the Twins bring in these third-rate pitchers and it blows up on them, why don't? Spend $2 billion for a kicker. What the hell?
I don't know.
What the hell?
You know what Childress did well? He signed linemen. Hutchinson was a massive investment, but he was great. And he signed Longwell.
Yes.
And Longwell solved the issue, and you never had to worry about it for years.
Yeah, that's true.
I have no idea why Spielman hasn't gotten Mike, you know, post Blair Walsh, right?
Yeah. Well, he thought he got him for him when he drafted him, and that didn't work out.
Yeah, but what? You knew Mike couldn't handle a rookie kicker.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that Carlson might be fine, but it wasn't going to be here.
Well, how bad was Bailey last year?
He melted down like the last five game stretch. Well, he missed three field goals and a PAT at Tampa Bay.
That's
and he
right.
completely melted down.
Yeah.
But he also was on the decline when they signed
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm saying go get a veteran who's still in his prime.
Get the guy that some team that's got really cap problems
yes.
doesn't sign.
Yes, and that Mike doesn't have to deal with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go out there, you don't miss kicks.
Well, Adam Vinatieri might have thought he was retired, but he better start practicing again.
He's like my age.
Out there in Sioux Falls or wherever he's living, you know, South Dakota's state's own.
This poor kid, though, I bet you that this guy now, this could start a cycle for Joseph, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, because the Vikings kickers go through this.
Oh, yeah.
You miss a PAT, then you miss a field goal.
Now
you're mind bleeped.
Now there's doubt.
Yes.
Now there's doubt.
Yes.
It's
because we all thought, oh man.
And his doubt is, God, I didn't have a job since 2018, and now if I miss this one, I might not have a job anymore.
And you're right. Everyone hates him right now.
Yes, right.
That's so true.
They do. They do. And I don't think we can. I don't think there's anybody. We're not mad at the holder. We're not mad at the snap. It was he just basically
nope.
You know what I'd love? I'd love to see a guy miss a kick like that and just collapse on the field and start weeping, sobbing. You know?
Like a bad score in figure skating?
Yes, right.
The crying room?
Just lay down on the floor and start weeping.
Just take your helmet, slam it down. So they can
something
all see
like that.
Oh, curl up God. In a ball.
And it's astounding, again, when you go back and look at the kicking of the 60s before the sidewinders came into yes. the game. You know, Freddie'd miss 15 a year.
I got a tweet Freddie from an old guy last night. Freddie Cox spoiled us with how good he was.
Yeah, Freddie missed 15 a year. Freddie missed 15 a year. But they didn't try many 50-yarders, you know. I think he kicked 250-yarders yeah, or something.
But I got a note from a guy. Freddie Cox spoiled us.
Yeah,
he never missed.
No, yeah, the hell he didn't. Yeah, they all missed back then. The two biggest changes in football, interceptions are now capital punishment sins.
Yep.
And
yes.
field goal kicking. If your guy's not 80%, you're mad at him.
Yes.
Back in the day, he made half of them. What the hell?
Yep.
You know, free points anyway. What the hell is it? 3 points. What do we care? He made half of them.
Yeah, Rick Danmeyer was great.
Yeah. And the plus they used to block him, you know.
Right.
They used to.
Oh, yeah, they used to get up on each other's backs. The Vikings did
Vikings
that.
Vikings had 14 one year block kicks.
Bobby Bryant would launch off yes, of like, what, yeah, Matt right, Blair's right. back?
Well, Matt Blair had 20 block kicks in his career. 20! I remember McNeil blocking a lot, but I was wrong. I looked it up. He had 4 or 5. But Matt Blair should be in the Hall of Fame because he blocked 20 kicks.
I love the pictures of guys jumping on the backs of teammates
yes.
to launch themselves up, yes. and they're flying through the air, yes. headed for a certain concussion.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Oh, God, yes. Yeah. It was, it is amazing. You know, when you think of the game now, and it's faster and more brutal in the sense, but the fact that they don't let them get away with clotheslining each other and slugging a guy across the side.
Quarterbacks used to.
Mick Tinglehoff lost his memory early because he got hit upside the head. You know, they could swing and hit him in the helmet.
If you go back and watch on YouTube quarterback highlights, they got destroyed.
Oh, God, yeah. How did they ever stay in the game?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they threw picks in part because they probably couldn't see straight halfway through the game.
Oh, yeah. And late, too. I mean, like
yes.
five seconds afterwards, it'd drill them, mm-hmm. you know.
Free shots.
Yeah, right. Unbelievable. It is. That's why they all hated Tarkington.
Because
they
could
had
run
to
around,
chase
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had defensive linemen like Doug Atkins. Who couldn't outrun me, you mm-hmm. know? I mean, a guy like Hunter would have, I don't know what they would have done. They would have said, well, we can't play him on the line. We can't waste him on the defensive line. We got to make him a tight end.
Yeah, be a tight end, yeah.
Yeah, it is astounding, the physical. I did a thing once on Eden. What are Eden Prairie's real good teams in the sometime in the 90s, mid 90s, when they had a big kid from that went to Notre Dame, Lavore.
Mm-hmm.
He was 6'9" tight end, huge guy. But their offensive line in high school, like 25 years later, or was it 30 years later, their offensive line was about 25 years later, was 30 pounds a man heavier than the Vikings at the Super Bowl when they went to their first Super Bowl.
Wow.
You know, I mean, Milt Sunday was 240 or something, yeah. And that was after he really built himself up. And
yeah.
Tinglehoff was big man, 250 or something, playing center.
Well, back in the day, William the Refrigerator Perry was considered mammoth, right?
Yeah.
I went and looked up his weight.
310?
It's not impressive at all.
No, yeah, 310.
He's not nearly as fat as I thought he was.
Worst PR move ever made by a coach, though. Ditka.
Oh, God.
In the Super Bowl.
Why would you
not letting Walter Payton score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Letting the refrigerator score a touchdown.
Why would you do that?
Because you're stupid. Because you're just so self-involved. Because he was, you know, he's remembered as this legend. And one of the great Saturday Night Live skits is Ditka, you know, Bears fans Ditka. Sitting around Ditka and tell the Ditka story. He should have won, as good as the NFC was then, should have won 3 Super Bowls with that team, not just one.
Yep.
I mean, they were on the defensively. Well, they were.
And Buddy had a lot. Buddy had so much to do with that.
Well, that's,
and Buddy hated his guts.
Yeah, that's a great coaching staff there is. They basically had two head coaches that hated each other.
They carried Buddy Ryan off the field.
Yeah,
the defense carried him off. They ignored Ditka.
Yeah, right. It was definitely that's a time in life that Chicago will never be able to replace for fun. I went to 2 straight Soldier Field playoff games with I think it was the team that won a Super Bowl, and they had the Giants there with Phil Sims,
mm-hmm.
and they had the Rams there with Dieter Brock.
I remember these, yes.
And the wind both Sundays was howling. And that's as close to death as I've ever seen quarterbacks. I mean, even if you went to pass, you couldn't even throw a 10-yarder because the ball was blowing so hard. And you're going into the wind against those guys. They were unbelievable. They were killers.
They shut out the Rams, right?
Yes. And then, remember the big one? Here's how hard the wind was blowing. Sean Lindetta missed the ball.
Oh.
Remember, he went to kick? He dropped the ball, and it missed his foot. It blew away from his foot. That's how hard the wind was blowing. And against that defense, and that Bears crowd was you know, you had to fight your way through the stands to get down. Now there was an elevator, but you couldn't wait for it. After being there for 3 hours, after being in the parking lot for 3 hours, in their snowmobile suits, freezing together, drunk, throwing up on themselves. Oh, that was the worst. That was the worst crowd ever. Even worse than Philadelphia on a Monday night. Because when I went to Philadelphia on a Monday night, it was like October, you mm-hmm. know.
Right, so it wasn't.
This was January
yep.
in Chicago,
yep.
freezing, and these people, and these animals celebrating and having to take a whiz after the game and just doing it out in the corridor all over the place. It was unbelievable.
The special relationship between alcohol and the National Football League. Like
football in general.
Football
yeah.
is just...
It is.
An incredible relationship.
It is. It is amazing.
It turns people loose for 6 hours.
So, what was the Minnesota Miracle? The Minneapolis Miracle was 18, right?
Yeah. No, 17.
17.
17.
That long ago.
Yep, it was 17. 18 was Cousins.
So I was watching it at the Tiki Bar in Fort Myers.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into the Smiling Blondes. The three, there was a bridal.
Oh, okay.
There was a bachelorette party that weekend in Fort Myers. one of the girls was like a Fort Myers girl, but it was a Minnesota gals on the beach that weekend. And I read, and I was told that this is where the Viking fans watch their games, this Tiki Bar. And it was, they had TVs set up and people leading cheers. And and that was, you know, and the one gal who was great, who helped lead cheers, was a gal named Kenzie Weber. She's from Glenwood. And she started telling me how, when she was when Gary Anderson missed a kick and they lost that game, she was like 8 years old and wouldn't come out of the closet. She would, they were saying, Kenzie, come on, dinner. And she wouldn't come out of the closet. She just sat in the closet and cried for like hours.
Wow.
So, and she still has this crazy devotion to the Vikings, right? And just spends all her excess money to fly to games and stuff like that. And gets bad seats, and so I called her last night, and she said, "Oh, I've been drinking all day." She said, "This is bad, man." She was bad. Oh. She was bad, and she's now engaged to a psychotic Viking fan. I said, "This is not healthy."
No, this is not healthy.
You don't need any help with your Viking psychosis, dear.
Who's the old gal now? And I've seen this on TikTok the last few weeks. Somebody's kid, I think, adult kid, basically does a video all day long of mom watching the Vikings.
Oh, really?
And she is the most foul mouthed.
Oh, really?
Hilarious, dropping F bombs constantly.
By the way,
but you'd love it.
I saw this.
Damn near column.
Declan, I saw this last night on Twitter, and it was some Viking fans were tweeting it, and they had this 10-year-old kid crying because the Vikings had lost.
That was Adam Thielen's son, Pat.
Oh, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was Caitlin Thielen tweeted it.
Adam Thielen's oldest boy.
Yeah,
because it looked like it was artificial.
No, that was very real.
Dad didn't get enough throws.
Those were.
I'm sorry. He was mad about the loss.
He didn't complain about it.
Hey, kid, I want you to cry. Daddy didn't get enough today.
They didn't throw it to him enough. Oh, okay, that was Thielen's kid. Because I saw it, and, you know, when that one, some of those crying kid things have gone viral.
Yes.
And I thought maybe this didn't look like it was, he wasn't sobbing hard enough to me. But I guess if it's the only kid, it works.
The little kid actually that stole the show, in my opinion, yesterday on the football scene, Ellie Duncan, the ESPN Sports Center.
Her
daughter, I guess, and her family, I think they must be Broncos fans. I'm not sure.
Hey, but
why.
They probably love Teddy, huh?
Her daughter loves Teddy Bridgewater and was sitting there yelling, "Come on, Teddy. You got to help out your teammates, Teddy. You got to run around more, Teddy." He was literally her biggest, bigger fan than me.
Numbers for Teddy yesterday, 300, the same number.
2-0.
The same number of completions, but with 100 more yards this week. So,
yep.
Who'd they beat?
Jacksonville. I mean,
yeah.
Still, take care of the dog bleep teams. He looks good.
Yes. Well, you know who wants him when his contract's up? Except Zim won't be here to.
Zim
won't be here to sign him. So
here's my theory. Zim to Cincinnati. His ranch is 20 minutes from the stadium, I believe. He's the exact opposite of what they have right now.
Mike, whatchamacallit, likes him. Mike Brown.
Yep.
Still likes him.
He worked there for a long time.
He's not going to complain about the facilities being too cheap or something.
Right. Zach Taylor, though, is a young offensive-minded guy who I don't think is that good.
No.
I think Zim in Cincinnati.
Well, maybe.
And plus, I bet he would do it. If he got blown out from here, he could do it for relatively cheap.
Yeah, and he'd do it 3 more years.
Because he's got time left on his contract here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I was worried about Zim in the
post-game. Well, I thought you were worried about him now.
Yeah, I was.
It was all fun and games
until he
was going to have a stroke.
Until it actually happened. So, Barrios, not great yesterday, but good enough to beat the Fighting Twinks when they got to Five of the first. How about the Twinks bullpen then shutting them out the rest
of the game? Is Barrios pitching here next weekend?
Supposedly Friday, which would be on his day.
Okay.
But I think they play all week. I think Toronto plays tonight and play all week. And Toronto probably will need him to pitch on his fifth day because the lefty, Ryu, has been terrible.
Yeah, what happened to him?
He was pitching great.
Yeah.
And he's been terrible like two games in a row. And I got a hunch that they might refresh him and have him skip a start or something. So, Jose will probably pitch here Friday.
Are you going to the ballpark this weekend?
Friday night if he pitches, yeah.
Okay.
But yesterday, odd outing for – actually, I was in the car and they were on – their game was the one that was on MLB on Sirius.
Yep.
So I listened to quite a bit of the Toronto broadcast. Another fantastic outing by Jose. And, I like Jose as much as the next guy. But when you give up a home run to Ben Rortvedt and a two-run double to Nick Gordon, it's not a fantastic outfit. It was solid.
Mm-hmm.
It was solid, but it was, not great. But he's been, he was okay. First two games he didn't get scored on.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was awful for three in a row, and now he's been okay again. But I think he's going to get to 200 innings again. Thing about him, makes him valuable, 32 starts a year.
Yep. He does. Yep.
32 starts a year.
So far it's not broken down.
No.
That's true.
And it doesn't, there's no end. I mean, he's an amazing athlete for a pitcher. He used to send out videos of himself pushing trucks and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, until the Twins told him to stop doing it because he's breaking down every August. You said, he'd be bad for four starts.
He was bad in August. He had his August slump again, although this year, usually here, it lasted six starts. It only lasted three up there.
There was a note from John Morosi that the pitching coach actually made some alterations after that third bad start that they credit with turning
the guy yesterday was saying more high fastballs and I think just something with his delivery too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, sir.
All righty. Well, here's the deal with 0-2. There's a bunch of games like this every year, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you can either, the NFL, you look at their point spreads. Every game is 5 minutes to go, you don't know who's going to win, right? Not every, but 75% of the games.
Right, sure.
So you don't like that you lose both of them, right? You're already behind the eight ball because you're going to have 10 more like this, right?
Yes.
They're going to be five blowouts and 12, who's going to win with 5 minutes to go? So you got to win eight of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or seven of those anyway. So.
And you had a chance, so.
Yeah, that's bad.
All right.
Do it again someday next week, probably.
Yes, we will.
All right. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.